So, cadets and gems and congregation, what would you say is the most valuable part of your body? What is the part that requires and needs the most protection? We could perhaps say the head, but we would also say the heart. If we look at the wisdom of the Proverbs here in verse 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. It is true that the physical heart is vital for life. That heart stops, the blood stops flowing through your body. The muscular pump of the heart consists of four ventricles or chambers. There are many mitochondria which enable continuous aerobic respiration, numerous myoglobulins, and a good blood supply. The heart is regulated by electrical impulses which are composed of changes in salts around the heart. The heart is necessary for moving the blood, which carries oxygen and nutrients to the cells of the body that enable us to live and to grow. God has wonderfully designed a strong and protective chamber for our hearts and lungs, the rib cage. But the focus of the proverb, of course, is not on the physical red pump. The Old Testament and New Testament represent the basic orientation and center of a person in terms of their heart. It's from the heart that desires and emotions and attitudes come forth. The heart is your citadel. It's your strong tower. It's the center of your being. Your mind, your will, and your emotions all come out from this wellspring, this heart. Jesus expressed that truth in Matthew 6:21, where he says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And so just as the red blood from the physical heart goes out into all parts of the body, providing life, so from the center of our beings, the biblical heart, outflows all of the patterns of our lives. All that we do, all that we say, all that we think comes forth from that center of our being. Just as a mighty river can start up bubbling up from a small spring and then flowing out. You might taste the water. You might see the channel and wade in it. You might feel it. So it is that from the outflow of our hearts, it's seen by what we say, the way we use our mouths. It's seen in what we look at, what we're attracted to. And it's seen into the direction that we go as we walk in life, the way our feet run in the course and pattern of life. And so we're going to look this morning at three points. The first one is speak from a guarded heart, verse 24 in particular. Cadets and gems, you might have heard that children's rhyme, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." It's not true. It's just not true, is it? It really isn't true. Most of us have been hurt by other people's words. Psalm 42:10, "My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, 'Where is your God?'" Words hurt, or can hurt. They wound and they may tear down. But here is the wisdom of God, cadets and gems and everybody else. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. The Proverbs really saying the same thing in different ways twice. Don't say deceitful or devious things. Don't be crooked in your speech. Speak straight. Don't plot and speak half-truths. So again, I'm going to address you, cadets and gems, because you're right there in front of me. But everybody, how are you going to stop your mouth from manipulative, perverse speech? I have a solution for you. Duct tape. You can get it from the hardware store. Very effective. Put it on your mouth. Stick it there. Problem solved. Duct tape. See, the problem with duct tape is it's like damming up a river. It might work for a while, but eventually it's going to come off, isn't it? That's not really a very good solution. Perhaps you have found that it's very hard to control your tongue. The tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts, James says in chapter 3. Consider what a great forest fire is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of your body. I could ask you anatomically what your tongue is connected to. It's to the roof or the back of your mouth. But biblically, the tongue is connected directly to the heart. And it's from the heart that the tongue is driven. That's what Jesus was saying in Luke 6, as we heard Councillor John O read to us. The good man out of the treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. So the heart is connected to the tongue, biblically. Now imagine for a moment a toxic waste dump. You've got drums of toxic fluid, and the drums are corroding, and that waste is spilling out and contaminating the environment, and it's flowing out from that dump site. It's leaching into the environment. That's what it's like in our lives, where the poison from our hearts finds its way out through our tongues and contaminates our relationships and the people and circumstances around it. That's what Jesus was saying in Matthew chapter 15. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. I don't know if Councillor Jono's had an experience on the building site where he's hit his thumb with a hammer. Quite possibly so. But it's an interesting exercise when we accidentally hurt ourselves. What comes out of our mouths? And sometimes we find ourselves thinking, I wonder where that came from. Well, it came from your heart. That's what the Bible says. Out of the heart come evil thoughts. So when we give false testimony, if we give false testimony against others, we put a twist into something and misrepresent them, it's coming from our hearts. When we slander someone, oh, she's a real jerk. He's really stupid. It's coming from the heart. Out of the mouth. So I'd encourage you, cadets and gems, to be careful, to be aware of the way you use your tongue in your meetings. And for the youth group as well, be careful about how you speak. And congregation, it applies to us all, doesn't it, whether we're young or old, to be very careful about how we use our tongues, because they can really start a fire. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by one another. Galatians 5:15. In a congregation such as this, the tongues of God's people can be used to bring great peace and harmony and edification and building up and joy. But the very same tongues can be used in the opposite way. And so the Bible is saying to us today, guard your heart. See, duct tape isn't going to work. It's not going to work in the cadets and gems. It's not going to work in this congregation. We need to guard our hearts if we are going to control our tongues. So I want to ask you this morning then, how do you start guarding your heart? I suggest firstly you need to know your heart, to examine that heart. So here are a few suggestions. Consider before you say something, why am I saying this to that person? Why? Consider what you're going to say before you say it. And think about the likely effect of what you're about to say on somebody else. I could summarize all of that in the words of James, be slow to speak. That's wisdom. But even more important than those practical suggestions is to ask God to help you control your tongue and turn your heart over to Him. Now, cadets and gems used to be called the Calvinist Cadet Corps and Calvinettes. Quite a mouthful. And that reflects our Reformed heritage and the influence of one man called John Calvin, French theologian and pastor in the Protestant Reformation. And Calvin famously said, my heart I offer to you promptly and sincerely. My heart I offer to you promptly and sincerely. I encourage you, cadets and gems, to give your heart to the Lord. For all of us to offer ourselves into the complete care of Jesus Christ as Savior and Master. And then He will help you to guard your heart so that evil will not come from your lips. And He's also there to help us with our eyes. And that's our second point. Look from a guarded heart. Verse 25. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Again, two expressions in the proverb saying the same thing. Look straight ahead. Have you any of you gone sailing before? When you sail, it's really important to fix your eyes on a distant point to sail towards. If you don't have your eyes set straight ahead, you won't sail a straight course. The same is true of plowing a field, same is true of sewing a line of stitches. It's a basic principle of many things in life, and it's certainly here. Keep your focus forward. And we know that there are many people in the Bible who let their eyes wander. Eve found the tree of the good knowledge of good and evil a delight to the eyes, so she took some fruit. Lot's wife, remember, famously looked back, turned into a pillar of salt, Genesis 19:26. And David, walking around on the roof, sees a woman bathing. And instead of turning his eyes, he looked and he looked. And we know where that ended up. It ended up in sin and much destruction in his life. The gaze of the eyes is the focus of our life, and it shows the nature of our beings. And we live in a very visual age. Imagine that most of the cadets and gems have spent quite a bit of time on the internet. Many of us do. And the internet enables us to view an incredible amount of content which comes straight in. And that's a great blessing when the content is helpful and edifying. And it's a great curse when the content is destructive. YouTube, computer games, graphic DVDs, CGI, even the fashion industry is very much geared towards the eyes, what people look like. And so we need to be careful with what we look like. Towards being aware of the evil that is portrayed in movies and on television, on the computer screen. And it's sin in our hearts that distorts our vision. How many of us have sat before a computer screen and seen something perhaps on a news page, which isn't really very edifying and isn't really necessary for us to look at, but we're just kind of drawn towards it, perhaps by the picture that's there. We need to be careful about how we look. And so I have a solution for you this morning. Wear a blindfold. Simple. That's going to solve the problem of wandering eyes. Wear a blindfold. I like the duct tape. It's not really a very good solution, is it? The only way to effectively control where you look is to guard your heart. That's what the wisdom of the proverb is saying. And in order to guard your heart, you need to examine it and know it. What distracts you in life? What are the things that draw your eyes? Is it sport? Is it fashion? Is it looking cool? Is it content on the internet? Is it yourself? Do you linger at the mirror a little too long? Now, my natural focus and ability to see is damaged. That's why I wear glasses. Prescription glasses of quite high strength. Did you know that John Calvin was known for his glasses? His spectacles? John Calvin compared Scripture, the Bible, to a pair of spectacles. Not that it looks like a pair of spectacles, but that he understood that if we are to see clearly in life, we must look through the Scripture to understand everything around us. That's what he meant by a pair of spectacles. That if we're to properly interpret the world, the creation around us, we must look through the Scripture, the Word of God. And so if you want to see clearly in life, then you must Guard your heart from looking at the world around you apart from God's word. And that's the reason why so many people fall into so much trouble, is they think, no, I know better. I know better than God's word. I'll do it my way. Rather than looking at the world and seeking wisdom through God's truth. We are to look at the world through the light of the word, through the light of Christ. Those words from Hebrews chapter 12. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Lord is calling us to do what Jesus did, which is to keep a steady and fixed gaze and focus. And that's what Jesus did all the way through his life, all the way to the cross. He didn't falter or flinch. He kept a clear focus on the work that he was called to do. And if he hadn't done that, where would we be today? He did it so that he could be the Lord of all the people who trust in him, and so that he could help us with our tongues and with our eyes, with the wisdom that is put before us, and also to help us with our feet. And that's our third point: walk from a guarded heart. Looking at verses 26 and 27, make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. A number of us enjoy walking. Some of you have been walking on mountain treks, and when you go walking in the mountains, it's good to have firm footwear to protect your ankle, to stop you from slipping. And walking in the Bible is a metaphor for the direction of life. God says to Abraham in Genesis 17, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless. He's not saying literally walk, but he's saying live in such a way that you are without fault before me in life. Walking is used in that way. There's a constant call in the scripture to walk according to the Lord's ways. Broad is the road that leads to destruction. Narrow is the road that leads to life. God calls us to walk in a particular way in life. It's his way. And so it is true that the heart controls our behavior, controls the direction, the decisions that we make. Jesus said, out of the heart come murder, adultery, theft. Before David committed adultery with Bathsheba, he had already decided in his heart that he would lust after her. So the heart came before the motion towards her. So how are you going to direct your feet? I have a solution for you this morning. Could I suggest leg braces? Of course, that's not going to work either, is it? Might work for a while, but it's actually not going to address the issue that's really before us about the direction of life. So leg braces like duct tape or a blindfold. The only way to guard, or rather the only way to guide your feet is to guard your heart. But in order to guard your heart, you must know your heart. So again, there's a call to self-examination. What is it that causes you to go off track? As you look back on your life, what are the trigger points, the temptations, the aspects of your life that cause you to stumble? Could be laziness. Could be a distraction by other things. So in order to get to know our hearts, we need to look at our hearts through the spectacles of God's word. I encourage you to pray that God would help to guard your heart. To realize that you need the Lord's help to guard the heart, for the heart is restless. Estimate every step you take in life in terms of its conformity to the will of God. So that every decision you make, you think, is this along the lines of God's pathway or not? So that before you make a decision, you think about that. The bigger the decision, the more time and more consideration it is wise to take before you take the next step. Remember that there is a huge degree of blessing within the boundaries that God has set for us. God is not miserly. He has set a large area of freedom within which we may live and make decisions according to his will. This is a section of God's word which is directed to young people, cadets and gems. Some of you are already teenagers, and some of you will be soon. One of the Tripp brothers has said of teenagers that they are eminently trappable. Now, there are different stages in life for different people, but teenagers and young people who are growing through the growth spurts are known often to be a little bit clumsy. It seems like their bodies grow a bit too big and they have to get used to them. And so they can stumble. And so biblically we can stumble at different stages of life. And so I'm speaking particularly to you as young people, as cadets and gems this morning, to know that we have an enemy when it comes to the direction we take in life. Satan is the enemy. He knows the military significance of our center, our command and control center, our heart. He knows that if that citadel is taken, then the whole town, the whole area will be in surrender. He knows that if he can seize that heart of yours, all else will follow. Your affections, your desires, your motives, your pursuits, all will be given over. He knows that a wound to the heart means that you will be severely compromised. And therefore, you must keep guard over your heart. You must know that heart to guard it. You must realize that ultimately you cannot do that yourself, because your own heart, like mine, is deceitful and wicked above all things. We need the Spirit of God to dwell in us, to help us to guard that which needs to be protected. And that Spirit of God is only available to those who come to the Lord Jesus Christ and give their heart to Him promptly and sincerely. Let me encourage you, cadets and gems, if that is something you haven't as yet done, to do that. Put yourself into the care of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, I think John Calvin was really the first Calvinist cadet. And he wisely offered up his heart promptly and sincerely. Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. He uses an imagery of oxen plowing in the field. Take my yoke upon you, so walk alongside me, so that I can guide you, so that I can take some of the load for you, so that you can know the way to walk. Take my yoke upon you. Jesus invites us today to come to Him for the help we need to guide our hearts. Cherish a humble heart, congregation, before God that is willingly dependent upon Him. Live in an atmosphere and an environment of the Word of God so that the truth of Scripture is illuminating your own heart to you. Resist the pressure of the world on the heart to damage other people with what we say, to take our eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ and to look in places where we will likely fall into sin, and to take a course away from God's pathway. Have you been listening this morning to these words? Have you given careful attention to the truth of God's word? Have you acquired some wisdom and understanding as you have listened today? Above all, do not please forget the words of Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Amen.